Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Peitetim and Aleph by the new Perek. Perek begins, all the roofs of the city are considered being a single reshut, the Gabei Shabbat. That means you can carry from one roof to the other without any other preconditions. As long as none of the roofs are apart by more than 10 tefachim. There's no roof that's above 10 tefachim or below 10 tefachim away from the other roofs of this city. Chachamim argue that each gag is designated to the house, and they're all separate entities, and you can't carry from one roof to the other roof. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, and here, this is the famous Rabbi Shimon who we've seen throughout the Masechta, as well as in the Gemara and Shabbat, Echad Gagot. Ve'achad chatzerot, ve'achad karpifot, rishut achat hein lekelim sheshavtu letochan. When it comes to these areas, the gagot, the roofs, chatzerot, the courtyards, and the karpifot, which are the equivalent of backyards or open areas that are surrounded by walls, rishut achat hein lekelim sheshavtu letochan. They're considered to be one area for any of the kelim that are found in any one of these areas. You can move from the gagim to the chatzerot to the karpifot. You can move all around with these kelim, and they're considered to be a single reshuta on Shabbat. But the only thing that you're restricted from is lo the kelim sheshavtu betoch habayit. You can't bring those utensils that started Shabbat in the house, you can't bring them out to the chatzer, or you can't bring them out to these other areas. These all areas are considered to be one. Rashi says the reason that they're considered to be one here is, kulam ein tashmishan miyuchad v'taydir. So because all of these locations, their utility is not unique, and not tadir all the time or frequent. And because of that, he considered them all to be one area. What's interesting is, back on Daf, Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi also, on this statement of Rav Shimon, explains what's the common denominator between these areas is, Bekulan Rishut She'ena Dirahi, that these locations are all places that are not living spaces. And the two are probably correlated. The fact that they're not living spaces, it makes it that they aren't unique, and they aren't used on a frequent or a permanent basis. And that's why he considers them all to be one, a single area that have that common denominator, and because of that, they're considered to be one reshut, and you can carry from one to the other without a problem. Now, despite the fact that we have a principle in Shas that the halacha is Rabbi Meir b'gzeirotav, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir when he has a gzeira, and even neged rabim, even then he's arguing on a plurality of people, nevertheless, the halacha is like him. Despite that fact, the Ri says over here that the halacha is not like Rabbi Meir, and the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, like we've seen many places throughout where we bumped into this memory of Rabbi Shimon, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in this case. And we'll see in a second why Rabbi Meir's din is a gzeira. Yotiv Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, Yotiv Abaye Gabayu. So you have these three Amoraim that are sitting, you have Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, and Abaye is sitting along with them. They're sitting there and saying. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam points out in other places that the Gemara could have just mentioned all three of them together. The fact that it designated Abaye separately indicates that the Chiddush in this sugya is going to come from Abaye, that we should expect Abaye to be the one who says something that is unique in this circumstance. Bishlama Rabbanan Sabre. We understand the position of the Rabbanan. Kashem Shid Diyurim Chalukim Lamata Kach Diyurim. Just like the residences are separate down below, so too they are separate up above. That means that the roofs are considered to be, each one of them, an independent entity. Just like the houses themselves are independent entities, so too the roofs are independent entities. And that's why they say in the Mishnah that kol echad v'echad reshut bifnei atzmo. El Rabbi Meir, Mike Hasavar. What is the position of Rabbi Meir based on? Ika savar kashem shidurim chalukim namata, kach durim chalukim namalo. If he subscribes to this position of the Chachamim, that just like the residences are separate below, they so too, the roofs should be separated up atop, Amai Rishut Achadein. Then why does he say in our Mishnah that they're considered to be a single area? V'ika Savar, and on the other hand, if he holds the opposite of what the Chachamim say, which is, Ein Chalukim, they're not considered to be separate, the Cholamala Miyud Rishut Achati, Afilu Gag V'asarav and Amuch, Yud Nami. Everything above 10 tefachim is considered to be one area or one reshut. If that's the case, why should it matter what the vertical distance is between the roofs? Whether you have one roof that is more than 10 tefachim high, one that is below 10 tefachim, that differentiation of 10 tefachim should make any difference, because anything above 10 tefachim should be considered a single reshut. So here we see Abaye come in with the Chiddush in the Sugya. Lo shmielu ha damar of Yitzchok bar Avdime. You haven't heard of this memra from Yitzchok bar Avdime, which explains Omer haya Rabbi Meir. This is what the position of Rabbi Meir is based on. Kol makom shatam motzei shtei rishuyot. Anytime you find where there are two rishuyot, two different areas, halachic areas, behein rishut achat, but they really are one rishut, meaning that they are both rishuyot de achid, or they're both rishuyot de rabim. But because of the nature of the two pieces, they're considered to be separate rishuyot halachically, even though they're of the same type. So for instance, if you're in a yard that has a pole in it that's 4x4 tefachim and 10 tefachim high, the yard itself is a rishut yachid, and the post is also rishut yachid because it's 4x4x10 high. And the rishut yachid of the chatzir goes up to the sky. So they're both rishuyot yachid, but halachically they are separate rishuyot only because each one of them individually has the halachic requirements to be rishut yachid. So that's what Rabbi Meir says, kol makom shatem motzei shtei rishuyot, you find two different designated areas, like this case where you have a chatzir and a pole, vein rishut achat, but they're really one rishut. Both of them are rishuyot yachid. Keep going, like we just explained. Amud rishuyot yachid, gvoas sarav rachav dalet. You have a post, a pillar in the rishuyot yachid, which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. Asur lekatef alav. You cannot rest on it. You cannot put items on it. You can't move items from the rishuyot yachid onto the top of this post, despite the fact that you're moving from rishuyot yachid to rishuyot yachid, which should be completely mutar. The reason is gzeira mishum tel brishut rabim. The reason that Rabbi Meir restricts you, this is his gzeira, is because he's fearful of one case where it is problematic. And that is the case where you have such a post or pillar in Rishut HaRabim. The Rishut HaRabim goes up to 10 tefachim high. If you have something in Rishut HaRabim which is 4x4 tefachim and 10 tefachim high, it becomes a Rishut HaYachid. In that instance, if you were to put something that you were carrying in Rishut HaRabim onto that post, it would be moving from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid. Because of that one instance where in the public domain you can have a Rishut HaYachid be present right in the middle because you have two halachically separate entities, the Rishut HaRabim itself and the post, which is 10 tefachim high by 4x4. And because of that, one is Rishut HaRabim, one is Rishut HaYachid, and then it's problematic to move back and forth. Because of that, he was gozer in all cases that are similar or look similar to this. For instance, in the case where you have the same post in Rishut HaYachid, there, they're both Rishuyot HaYachid. Nevertheless, he won't let you move something from Rishut HaYachid onto that post, for fear that you might do that in the Rishut HaRabim. And that's why over here he says the Gagot are really all Rishut Achat. They really are one area. But if they are more than 10 Tefachim away from each other, you enter into this problem of the Gzeirah that he just mentioned before, which is now you have something above 10 Tefachim away from each other. They're separate Rishuyot halachically, despite the fact that in terms of their designation, they're both Rishuyot HaYachid. Over there, Rabbi Meir's Gozer and doesn't allow you to move items from one area to the other area. And that's what he says here, Achanami, Gzeira Mishum Tel Bishut HaRabim. That's the case by the roofs. The roofs really should all be one area, but because they are more than 10 tefachim away from each other, they are considered to be two Rishuyot, even though both of them are Rishuyot HaYachid. But because of the Gzeira of Rabbi Meir, we say you cannot carry from one to the other, because of this fear that you might do the same thing in Rishut HaRabim, where there, there really is a problem, because you're moving from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid. Savar Mina, Afilu Machteshet Vafilu Gigit. We thought this might also apply even to a mortar or to a barrel that are flipped over. They are 10 tefachim high and have 4x4 tefachim on them. That maybe this same din or same gzera of Rabbi Meir should apply to them. Generally, when Abaye uses the term mar, it refers to his master, his Rebbe, Rabbo. So he's saying here in the name of Rabbo, Lo amar Rabbi Meir, ela amud v'amat harei chaim. The only time Rabbi Meir applied this principle is when talking about a post or amat harei chaim, the base of the millstones. Hov adam kovei lehem makom, because a person makes those a permanent fixture. And since they are a permanent fixture, then we worry about this issue of them being domet to something that is in the Rishut HaRabim. In that case, we won't allow you to use them when they're above 10 tefachim and more than 4x4. But stam kelim, they get moved around and are not permanently affixed in that place. Over there, we do not worry about it, or the gzera of Rabbi Meir does not apply. Because even in Rishut HaRabim, they would not be left there on a regular basis to have this problem arise. It's only when something is permanent or fixed do we worry about the gzera of Rabbi Meir. Farei kotel sheben bet chatzerot kavua. What about a wall that sits between two courtyards, and that's a fixed in place? Ve'amar Rabbi Yehuda, kishetimtzohom ala divrei Rabbi Meir gagin Rishut Atzman. Chatzai wrote Rishut Atzman, Karpifot, Rishut Atzman, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that all roofs are one Rishut, all courtyards are one Rishut, and all Karpifot are one Rishut. My love, what does he mean when they're considered to be one Rishut? To share the tutul a derakoto. It seems like you carry from one Chatzair to the other Chatzair, even though you're doing it passing over the wall. So you have a wall that sits between two courtyards. You're allowed, according to Rabbi Meir, to carry from one courtyard to the other because they're Rishut Achad, according to Rabbi Meir. So you take the item onto the top of the wall, and then you climb over, and you descend with the item on the other side of the wall to get from one chatzer to the other. Well, that's problematic, because Rabbi Meir just said that if something is 10 tefachim high, which a wall would be in order to separate between chatzerot, 4 tefachim wide, then it's considered to be a problem of tel b'shut rabim, and we are there, even though it's found in Rishut Yachid, that you're not allowed to utilize it. Yet over here, it seems like you can move from one chatzer to the other, on top of the wall and then over to the other side, despite the fact that it's 10 high and 4 tvachim wide. And that would undermine what we just said, that if something's kavua, if something's affixed in place, that that's enough to say that it's problematic, according to Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabbi Yehuna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Sheshet, lo, tachnis olotzi derech ptachim. You misunderstood that statement of Rabbi Meir. When he says the Rishut Achat, that all the Chatzerot, the courtyards are Rishut Achat, that's to go back and forth between them through the doorway that's between them. That's not to climb over the wall that's between them, because climbing over the wall is a problem for Rabbi Meir because of his Gzerah. So you misunderstood, you mistook the case here as being one where you can traverse the wall to get from Chatzer to Chatzer. That's not the case. You can only do it if there's a doorway between them, then you can move back and forth because they're Rishut Achat. But to climb up on top and back down, that would fall under the gzeira of Rabbi Meir, that you're not allowed to move an item from one location to another location, even though they're both Rishuyot Yachid, if it's more than 10 tevachim away. Because it's Dome Letel Rishut Rabim, which is really problematic, because there it's Rishut Rabim and Rishut Yachid. Chamim Arim Kol Echad VeEchad Rishut Neatzmo. Chamim, on the other hand, believe that each area is considered to be a separate Rishut, or each Gag, each roof is a separate area. Itmar. Rav Amar, Eimetaltim below El Adalid Amot. When they say that it's a separate area, means that each gag is separate, and the gag itself, you can only carry 4 amot on that gag. Ushmul Amar, Mutar Leteltel Begulo. When we say that it's own area, that means you can carry on that entire roof. You just can't move to the next roof. But the roof itself that you're on, you can move around there. Whereas Rav thinks you can't move at all. It's equivalent of being in Rishut Rabim or Carmelite, where you can't move more than Dalid Amot. So now the Gemara explains this machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Bimechitzot Anika wrote, if you have clearly designated, defined mechitzot, nobody argues that they're separate and you can carry around. Rashi says that that case is where there's a gap between the houses. They're very close together, but there is a gap between the roof of this house and the next house, and because of that, those are mechitzot ha-nikarot. Where do they argue with mechitzot she'ina nikarot? In a case where the separateness of the roofs or the houses is not visible from above. So for instance, if you have two houses that are semi-detached and they share a common roof, then over there you can't tell from above that they're separate entities. The wall that divides the houses doesn't rise up through the roof, and therefore they would be considered to be as if there is no separation. And now we have a machloket Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar ein mitalteilin bo ledalet amot, then you can't carry on there bedalet amot. Lo Amar gudasik mechitzata. We don't say that the wall between the houses rises up and divides even up at the roof level. Shmuel Amar, Mutar Leteltel Begulo. Shmuel says you can carry around the whole roof itself, the one roof that belongs to you, you can carry around, or whichever roof the Kelim are in, you can carry around that entire roof, because we do say that Amar Gurasik Mechitzata. We do say that that dividing wall rises from between the houses as if it's going through the roof and separates the roofs because of that. Tosafot also points out that you can have a case where the Mechitzot Eina Nikarot is not only a case like what Rashi says, where they are juxtaposed, adjacent to each other, and there's no separation between the roofs, but even a case where there is a separation between the roofs, but the roofs hang over, they go past the walls of the house, then again, that's a case, the mechitzot lo nikarot, because the end of the roofs don't line up with the end of the house, or the wall of the house. In that instance, then you do not have mechitzot lo nikarot. Tosafot does query about their houses in their day, which is similar to what we have in our houses today, which is in the case where you have slanted roofs. And you have slanted roofs that descend to the walls of the house and then beyond the walls of the house. What's the status of those roofs? So Tosafot points out, number one, we don't say in that case, Piatikra Yored Visotain, because it's on an angle. And therefore, that's out of the picture here. Number two is, the Mechitzot are in a Nikarot. So we don't say good Asik from the walls of the house, because the slanted roof runs right over those walls. and you can't tell where those walls of the house are. So we don't say good asik. And in addition to that, these roofs many times are hanging over the Rishut HaRabim. So what are the status of those roofs? So Tosafot here spends a lot of time discussing that. He suggests that they are considered to be a Karmelit, and therefore you couldn't carry it all on these roofs because of their nature of being a 4x4 tefachim. It makes them into a Karmelit. He does have another possibility that they might be Malkom Ptur, but he heavily favors this idea that they might be a Karmelit, and therefore you wouldn't be able to carry on the roofs. Similar to the roofs we have today, where on a slant, and the walls are not clearly defined, because the roofs hang over those areas that are the walls, and therefore you don't have this idea of mechitzot nikarot to separate out the roofs or make them a reshut that is usable according to the chachamim. The Gemara says, not our Mishnah. Chachamim amrim kol echad ve'echad reshut le'atzmo. That each one of these roofs then becomes a reshut by itself. Bishlamo l'shmuel necha, according to Shmuel's position, that makes a lot of sense in the chachamim, because each one of them is a reshut bifnei atzmo, and you can carry because they are reshut bifnei atzmo. El Rav Kasha. According to Rav, that is much more difficult, because according to Rav, they're not reshut bifnei atzman. You can't even carry up there. Amre be Rav mishmei de Rav. So the Beit Midrash of Rav says in the name of Rav, Shlo yitaltel bet amo b'gagzeh, o bet amo b'gagzeh. That's what it means that they're reshut bifnei atzman. Not that you can carry around the whole area of that roof, but rather, they are reshut bifnei atzman that you can't carry from one to the other. If you have the edge of a roof, you're within two amot at the end of that roof, and then it goes on to the next roof. So in terms of dalet amot, you're allowed to carry. But those dalet amot will extend two of them in one roof and two of them in the next roof. That's problematic. Nothing to do with dalet amot, but because you're crossing over the line between the roofs. And that's what it means, kol gag reshut bifnei atzmo. For Rishmo, it literally means reshut bifnei atzmo, and therefore you can carry around. Whereas for Rav, reshut bifnei atzmo means that you can't carry from one to the other, even if it's within the four amot that you're allowed to carry on the roof. Doesn't Rabbi Elazar bring that when we were in Bavel, we used to hear from the Beit Midrash of Rav in the name of Rav Amru, that you can only carry around Dalet Amot. And those from the Beit Midrash of Shmuel used to teach the Braita, Einlam Ela Gagan. You only get to use the Gag, or utilize the Gag. So once again, that Braita that Shmuel has is problematic for Rav. My Einlam Ela Gagan. It sounds like you can carry around anywhere you want on the roof. Why is this Braita any better than our Mishnah? And we already answered for our Mishnah when it says that every gag is a reshut bifnei atzmo, that meant that you can't carry within the four amot, two amot here and two amot at the next roof. Akanami, we can explain the Braita similarly over here. But you cannot carry. Reason the Braita says that the Ein Lahem El Gagan means you can only stay on that Gag. The four amot that you're entitled to walk must be on that roof. It can't extend onto the other roof. So we can explain our Mishnah that way and explain the Braita that way. So those aren't going to be problems for Rav. Amar of Yosef, Shlo Shmilei Haishmaita. I never heard this memra from Shmuel, the fact that we say good asig about the Mechitza, that ain't any karot. I never heard of this before. Amar Le Abaye, as we've seen numerous times in the Masechta, Abaye's Talmud reminds Rav Yosef of something they had learned before Rav Yosef had fell ill. And when he fell ill, he forgot much of what he'd learned. So Abaye is reminding him now what he said. Adamarni Alan, you told us about this. Vaha Amartni Alan. And on this case is when you said it. Gagadol Asamuch Katan. If you have a large roof that is adjacent to a smaller roof, that means you have a large area that is squared out of this one roof. And adjacent to it, you have a roof that does not take up the entire width of that roof. You have one roof that's 4x4, and next to it you have another roof that's 2x2. And the 2x2 roof sits in the middle of that wall of the 4x4 roof. So you can get from one to the other, but if you're looking from the gadol, you have a narrow area that enters into the katan. And then if you're looking from the katan, the entire side of the katan now is open into the bigger roof. And that'll have an afkamina l'locha, as we're going to see now, which is, gadol samuch l'katan, if you have a large roof next to a small roof, a gadol mutar. The larger roof is mutar, because we look at that opening into the smaller roof as a doorway. As long as it's less than 10 amot, then that's fine. But katan asur, on the other hand, the katan is problematic, because the katan has an entire wall that is open up into the gadol. And that is the equivalent of bim parutz bim luo, that you're totally broken down, breached to one side, one wall is totally breached into the area that's asur lot, which is the gadol. And therefore it's asur. For Marit Allah, and you said on that case, that's only true if you have inhabitants that utilize the big roof and utilize the smaller roof. Because once they do that, the division between the two roofs is considered to be a mechitza that is walked on. If there aren't people that are inhabiting or up there on a regular basis, then shnehem mutarim, they're both mutar. Why would they both be mutar? You have two roofs that are adjacent to each other. There's no mechitza between them. The answer is, like Shmuel said, that there's a mechitza that rises up from below of the house, and that's called gurasik. And that's exactly what's being quoted here. Rav Yosef is quoting Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel to explain that case, and that's clear that Shmuel holds, like he does over here, that the mechitza from the house is what's creating the division on the roof above. And Zabai says to Rav Yosef, you said it to us, and on this case you explained to us, and that is Shitat Shmuel. Amalei, Anahachi Amar Yehuda. No. This is what I said to you. Lo shna el sheyesh mechitza al zeh, mechitza al zeh. That's only true if both of them have mechitzot. The large roof has a mechitza around it, and the smaller one has a mechitza around it. Gadol mishtarei begufufei. That the larger one is mutar, because the larger one has on its fourth wall, three of the walls have a mechitza around it. On the fourth side, it has a little bit of wall on the right side, a little bit of wall on the left side, and then the opening into the smaller roof in the middle. But they have these gifupei, those boards on the side that make it as if there is a wall on that side. And the opening to the katan will be exactly that, a petach. The katan, on the other hand, for the katan, it has walls on three sides, mechitzon on three sides, but on the fourth side, nifrotz bimiluo. It's totally open into the gadol. And since it's totally open into the gadol, it's missing a wall on that side. And we said before, if you're nifrotz bimiluo to makom asur, then you're asur. Tosafot over here mentioned something that we saw early in the Masechta, when we said that the Katan's walls go into the Gadol, is that they extend inward into the Gadol itself, so that we don't have this case, which we had early in the Masechta, where it's Nireh Bifnim ve'enu Nireh Bechutz. But over here, the Mechitzot are not clear from either side, because you don't have a corner of the walls here, because the walls of the smaller Katan enter a little bit into the Gadol, and they don't form a 90-degree angle with the walls of the Gadol. So because of that, the Katan is Asur, and the Gadol is Mutar. Aval, ein mechitza lo azeh v'lo azeh, if there's no mechitza on either of them, shneim asurin. They're both problematic. So he's changing the whole story here. This has nothing to do with the mechitza or the wall of the house rising up and separating between them. This is when they actually have mechitzot. The larger roof has mechitzot. The smaller one has mechitzot. And yet we still have an issue here. So then Abaye says back to him, Ad diurim amartlan. You mentioned something about inhabitants. Your whole case, or the way you explained it now, it has nothing to do with inhabitants, and has nothing to do with this din of Shmuel, that the wall of the house, we say, gurasik. And that's what Rav Yosef is saying. I never heard this before. So he says, Iyamri l'chu diurin, so Rav Yosef says back to Bayit, if I said something to you about inhabitants, hachi amar l'chu, this is what I meant. Lo shna el sheyesh mechitza ruya l'dira al zeh. That's only true if mechitza makes it livable, inhabitable now. And they have a mechitza on the other one that makes it inhabitable. If they are both usable now, they both have utility because of the mechitzot, then the gadol mishtar begufeve, then the bigger roof is mutar, because of those sideboards that come around that fourth side before they have the opening for the katan. Katan ifrotz bimulo, and the katan is open up entirely into the gadol, and therefore it's asur. Aval yesh mechitza ruya l'dira al gadol, ve'en ruya l'dira al katan. On the other hand, if you have a mechitza that makes the gadol into a livable or inhabitable space, but the smaller one does not have that, afilu katan shari d'bnei gadol, then even the smaller area, the larger roof can use. My taima? What's the reasoning? Came into law, avud mechitza sluge sligu nafshayu mehocha. Once they didn't make a mechitza on top, they are implicitly relinquishing their rights to utilize the roof. So over here, in the case where they both have mechitzot around them, they're both establishing rights to use the roofs because they put something up that makes them now inhabitable or usable. In that case, the gadol would be mutar, the katan will be asur. Asur both for the gadol to go into the katan, or for the katan to carry it all inside of its own roof. Of course, from the katan into the gadol would be problematic. On the other hand, when only the gadol puts mechitzot around, but the katan puts on no mechitzot, the gadol is mutar in its own space, but then it's also mutar in the katan's space because we look at it as if those people in the Katan relinquished their rights to utilize it because they didn't do anything to make it usable now. And it's as if they grant an easement or permission to anybody who's up there to utilize what's there because they're not going to utilize it. Kehad Amar Rav Nachman, this is similar to a case that Rav Nachman mentioned. Asas Sulam Kavua LeGagol. If he put up a permanent staircase or ladder to his roof, hutar b'chol ha'gagim, he can utilize all the roofs up there. If there are many roofs up there, and he's the only one who put in a staircase or a ladder to the roof, then he can use his roof, of course, but then he can go to all the other roofs, because he's considered to be the de facto owner of all of those roofs, because nobody else has come up there to exert their rights. Nobody else put up stairs or ladders to get up there. So he's the only one exerting rights. And since everybody else either relinquished their rights or didn't exert their rights, he can utilize all of the roofs as if they're one big reshut of his. So therefore, he's utar b'chol ha'gagim kulan. Amar Abaye, bono ali al gabe beito. If he puts up an attic on top of his house, v'sal lefanei daka, and then he puts in a small doorway, arba, a doorway that is for tefachim, even though in the Gemara it reads arba, which seems to indicate amot, it makes more sense to say tefachim, because a doorway that's for amot is a really proper doorway. A small doorway that he makes is a 4 amot high. Hutar b'chol ha'gagim kulan, he can use all the other roofs. So he builds on top of his house this upper level, and from that upper level he opens up a doorway facing the other areas, the other roofs up there. And that's the equivalent or similar to what we just said before. When you put up a ladder to get to the roofs, then you become the de facto owner of all those areas. So it's over here where he builds the aliyah and opens a doorway to the remaining roofs. In that case, he's indicating that he wants to utilize the other roofs. And since no one else is up there, no one else is exerting their rights, he can now use all the roofs as if they're all under his ownership.
So this subpar or small doorway grants you these rights. The Ri, on the other hand, seems to say that it's actually a mechitza, like we've seen earlier in the Masechta, and that if he has an opening to that side and he puts up a mechitza and closes it off, because he would have been afraid to use this area on the Gag if it was open to the other roofs. So if he has an opening to the other roofs, and then he puts up sort of mechitza to seal off that side, that's what makes it possible for him to utilize the roof. As Tosfot himself points out, that's a very difficult explanation, because we just saw before, even if you put up a ladder, or even if you have the Gadol has a mechitza, not the Katan, you could utilize all the roofs up there. And it seems to have nothing to do with the closing off of the roof or making the mechitzot complete that allows you to utilize the roofs. So we're going to continue with the explanation like Rashi, which this daka is a small doorway that grants you access to the side where the other roofs are.
Amarova pamim shadaka lisur. Sometimes this doorway can create a problem or make it a sur. He can only stay on his roof, but not go to the other roofs. Chidami, what's that case? Davide lahade tarbitza debete. That he opened it up to the other side of his house, meaning that he opened it up to the side that doesn't face the other houses or the other roofs, but he opened it up facing his garden, and the closed area is towards the other roofs. In that case, he indicates that he's misalik. He removed himself from the other roofs. Yes, he exercised his right for his roof or to utilize his roof, but he also, by not opening up an entrance to the other roofs, indicates that he has no interest in those areas, and just like they relinquished their rights, he too is relinquishing his rights, and he can't carry from his roof now to the other areas or the other roofs. De Amar, because when you open up the doorway facing your garden, people are going to say, Linture tarbitza hu Davido. That door was put in there to allow him to guard his garden, not to allow him access to the other roofs. So if the doorway is facing away from the remaining roofs, then we look at it as if it's there for some other function, and not to grant him access to the other roofs. Now, we had saw early in the Masechta that when the Gemara used the term daka, daka was this subpar doorway, and it was actually used as a mechitza in order to divide. If you put up, for instance, a daka in front of a staircase, that indicated that you were misalek, you were relinquishing your rights to utilize the chatzir down below. And that freed the Bnei HaChatzir to make an eruv between them without including the Bnei Aliyah. But in each of those instances where we used daka before, we used it or utilized it as a mechitza, not as a doorway or an opening. For that reason, the Rabbeinu Tam reads this Gemara similarly, that the daka here is a mechitza. For instance, in a case where he builds an aliyah and he has an opening facing out to the other roofs. And the other roofs went together and made an eruv. Everybody made a roof except for this one person who has his aliyah on top. He didn't join in the eruv. Does he ruin it for them or not? The answer is, well, if it's open, for instance, one of the walls is totally broken down and open to the other roofs. Or in a case where he built on half of his roof, and then it's open to the other roofs, he will create a problem for them and make it a sewer. So if he puts up a daka in that instance, he puts up some sort of barrier between him and the other roofs, or for that doorway, that's what the daka that we saw before, then that's an indication that he's relinquishing his rights to the other parties, and they, all who have an Eruv together, can now carry on all the roofs except his. And he can only carry on his roof and he can't carry on theirs because they've done something or demonstrated some separateness of their openership through the daka. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam explains daka over here. Changes the gears a little bit, but like we've seen it until now, not the daka being a doorway that grants you rights, but a doorway that is relinquishment of rights. The only problem with that explanation is the next line of the Gemara, which is then when Rava says, Pamim shataka li isur. Sometimes the daka is the isur. Well, the truth is it has nothing to do with isur or heter over here. It doesn't make it asur or mutar. Over here, the daka has nothing to do with the isur. When you put up the daka, it's matir. And if you don't put it up, it's asur, but nothing to do with putting up the daka. It's the lack of the daka that makes it asur. And so that doesn't read so smoothly into the Gemara. Even though the Rabbeinu Tam fits better with the terminology daka that's used earlier in Masechta, internally in this sugya, it's a little more difficult to explain it this way. And that's probably what drove Rashi and the other Rishonim to explain that the daka here is a small doorway that gives you rights and is an exercising of rights to access those areas rather than the relinquishment of rights that we've seen for the daka in the earlier parts of the Masechta. Okay, we'll stop over here.